Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBluck, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew, guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show. He's back. We've got Chief Dr. Joel Schultz, former police chief. He's currently in Colorado, so thanks for being on the show. Man, we got two doctors on today. We got Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. Look at that. Wow. Special day. They're wearing collared shirts. And I'm just wearing a, you know, I'm not wearing a collar. I was only a lowly detective. So thanks for being on the show, guys. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Galls at Galls.com. Don't forget that 15% discount code, Radio15, the next time you go to Galls.com. We have ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And hey, Monday is our last day on satellite radio with Westwood One. So we appreciate Westwood One. We've had a great time with them the last year. We're trying to make the transition to Sirius XM. So more information coming on that. We've also got gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, safeguardrecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to about a million followers right now on social media. And if you have an agency and look, you want more recruits, you want to get them the right way and you want to retain those recruits, Safeguard Recruiting is where it's at. So you want to remember that name. safeguardrecruiting.com and twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. If you want cool shirts or hats or like the coffee mug behind me, go there, check it out. The prices are dirt cheap. We don't make a dime off of anything that we sell there. We're just trying to get our gear out there. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press. Thanks for carrying our content at tampafp.com, Rick Dietrich at formerlawman.com, and believe it or not, Travis Yates, our very own with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And just lastly, people have been telling me, Chip, start telling people how to watch the show. Let them know you're on podcast. Not only that, what podcast form? We are on every podcast platform there is. Yes, including Spotify and Apple iTunes. If you want to watch the show, all you have to do is go to our website at leoroundtable.com. And we actually have a button that you can click that tells you everywhere you can go, links to everything. We're on social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Truth Social, all the radio stations, everything's on there. So go to leoroundtable.com in order to check that out. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? I don't know if there's an update on the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and I had this up there just in case we were going to have Rich Garipoli from the Secret Service. But I haven't heard anything. We've also got former Minnesota trooper. He drops a bombshell. He claims that DHS, Department of Homeland Security, they pressured him to hide fraud, and the unit ended up being disbanded. Now, well, this is DHS on the Minnesota side. You'll hear more about that in a second. Then we got school officer stops an armed teenager before he enters a building. It's still happening, guys. We got to be on our A game. Louisiana sheriff charged after a toilet jailbreak lets 10 inmates escape in a lockup fiasco. And when I say charged, I'm not talking about just civilly. I'm talking criminally. We got police tasered. Let me go back to that story. That Louisiana sheriff, that was one of these people that what do you call them, Travis? They check on they check law enforcement. They're not an agitator, but one of these
auditor.
Yeah, a monitor. Thank you. They elect a monitor as the sheriff in Louisiana. What could go wrong? Now it was a black female. Now she's going to be in a world of hurt and probably going to jail. Wow. I can't wait to talk about that. Police tasered and arrested a terrorist suspect after two Jewish men end up being stabbed. This is in Britain. And this is how you fight bad guys with weapons when you don't have any. And then a man armed with a box cutter fatally shot by Bradley police officers. Four Georgia state troopers are fired over improper injury claims linked to police pursuits. And then Baltimore PD releases a body cam of a shooting of a 35-year-old guy. And we have some other stuff as time permits. Beekeeper, all this, right? The beekeeper from hell, Massachusetts. This is how they roll in Massachusetts. I want to go there on vacation. Massachusetts woman convicted for unleashing a swarm of bees. She was a beekeeper, and she wasn't even involved with what the cops were doing. She just wanted to protect people from getting evicted or something. She shows up with bees and starts breaking boxes, agitates the bees. And then we've got cops that are allergic to bee stings. What could go wrong? I mean, it's an amazing amount of stories that we have today. So let me just cover anything new from the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting. I haven't heard anything. Unless you guys are aware of something, we'll skip over that then. And we'll Chief Schultz.
Well, it just I don't know how long ago this was released. We were glad to hear that the Secret Service agent that was shot was not shot. It was not a blue on blue, apparently. I've read some criticism.
You're saying it was not?
That's the last I understood, that it was not a blue on blue.
Yeah, there was one cartridge fired from the suspect's shotgun.
All right. Wow. So yeah, I had they kind of backed off the story. So yeah, I had even said on the show I kind of suspect it was a friendly fire thing. But okay, that's interesting to know.
And now we're on the backside where it's you know, the heroism stories are going down, and the why did they screw up so bad stories are going up. And I love these guys. In fact, on LinkedIn, I saw an article where somebody was said, oh, I see the freeze frame of a female officer that had her gun this way, but her eyes were this way. And you're always supposed to look where you're shooting. And I'm like, come on. And, you know, the officer that got passed by, you know, in that 4 second flash, you know, what, you know, why were they breaking down so early? That, you know, that's a good question. So the critique's coming out, and now the congressmen are whining, well, we don't get protection. And so there were only certain numbers of people who got shuffled out by Secret Service and whatever other constellation of agents were there. And some of these just regular old congressmen didn't get anybody shuttling them out. And they were like, no, you know, we need some protection too. And that may be true. Everybody gets $250,000 annual budget for their own decisions about what kind of security they're gonna have. But you know, in the middle of the shutdown of funding for these law enforcement agencies under the umbrella of Department of Homeland Security, they're whining that they didn't get their own security, and it's just the irony is painful.
Well, Chip, can we talk a little bit about the elephant in the room, just slightly on this story?
Let's do it.
I think without trying to Monday morning quarterback like everybody else seems to be doing so easily, there's been three specific attempts on President Trump's life in the last 2 years, many more that we don't even know about at a threat level. You know, taking that data in mind, there's going to be three or four more between now and the end of his term. I think it's safe to say the Secret Service is using a Joe Biden type security profile against a president that has had 1,000x more threats on his life than any other president in history. It's probably time, before you conduct an event at a hotel, don't just pull the old playbook out for the former president and just put people in place. We ought to be thinking about things differently. And I have real concern because, I mean, in my lifetime, except for Ronald Reagan, I don't have no stories like this, and this is happening on a regular occurrence now. And they've gotten close to him, they've fired shots at him, they've shot him. It's really insane how normal we're treating this. And I do find it ironic that when you look at the gunman's manifesto, and I wouldn't quite call it a manifesto, but the verbiage he used is straight from an MSNBC news report. And so I wonder how those reporters feel in the room as they were hiding underneath tables of their culpability in this. I mean, it is, and of course, they're not stopping. You know, the very next day, we started calling Supreme Court justices extremist. You know, this language is not stopping. No one's holding them accountable. And quite frankly, you've seen the rhetoric of how can we keep missing? And there would be a celebration if they killed an American president. And I can't even undermine the disgustness of that, regardless of your view on politics. Is that where we've gone in America? And I guess I'm concerned about the rest of his term, but if they treat him after his term the way they treated him after his last term, he'll be dead in four years. There's no question in my mind they will kill him, because the people that are doing this believe they're going to be a hero from one political aisle. And it's hard to not say that. We've made the assassin of the United Healthcare CEO a hero, not we, but a political element has. Yeah. They have praised people that killed Charlie Kirk. I mean, that's what people think. They're regurgitating what the media is saying, because what do you do to a Nazi? Well, you got to kill a Nazi, right? What do you do to a fascist? Well, you got to kill a fascist, because the good is greater than the evil you're committing. There are people that believe this. And so when these politicians are verbalizing this stuff, the media is verbalizing this stuff, they know that there's a degree of mental illness in this country that's going to take them up on that. It's happened multiple times. And here we are. We've already moved on. It's easy to just talk about Secret Service. But no one's talking about the environment that's caused this. And the Secret Service clearly hasn't adapted to that environment. They're still acting like this is a regular president with regular president security. And, you know, they're not going to ask me my opinion. But if I was Donald Trump or I was on his team, I would completely gut whatever's happening around me. And I would pull in the experts of the world and rephrase and redo and calibrate all of their security protocols because something is happening. Yeah, the guy didn't get close. But why wasn't there? Why is their stairwells not secure? Look, you know, how does a guy get 150 yards away in Butler? I mean, how does this even, it's easy for us to say when a president's not dead, we need to work on some things. I think the evidence is there. Something is amiss on both sides, the rhetoric causing this and the lack of security. And I'm not saying it's a lack of security from previous presidents. They have not adapted to the threat level that's facing President Trump.
So it reminds me of, if you read the book, The Godfather, great movie, all three of them, but by Mario Puzo, he talks about a wartime consigliere, and a lot of people don't understand that, but that's what you're talking about. You're talking about, you can have peacetime people that can get away with doing stuff, but it takes a special group when you're, and we're at war right now. I'm not talking about Iran, but I mean, Trump, we should consider guarding a guy like that as a wartime unit that needs to take that on. And I totally agree with you. That's a great analogy, a great way to put it, that they need to change their game and totally throw away the rule book, and they need to completely get something else, because three, four attempts, five attempts, what's the magic number that's you know, when they're going to get it right? You know, and I certainly don't want it to happen in my lifetime. Well, guys, you know, I'm looking at some of the commentary here, and we're 10 minutes out from a commercial break. I'll get to that in 1 second from Rumble. Commercial break, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, former major Tulsa Police Department, Dr. Joel Schultz, former police chief, now in Colorado. We've been talking about the aftermath of the White House Correspondents' Dinner attempted assassination on President Donald Trump. And I think, Chief Schultz, you had some stuff that you wanted to say. And I when you're done, we'll start rolling on, because I know that we've covered a lot of the stuff during the week after it happened. But Chief Schultz, the floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate Travis's commentary. You know, when we talk about mental illness, this last batch of attempted assassins or would-be assassins or friendly assassins, as the last guy would say, they're not like Squeaky from Manson disciple crazy. They're rational actors. To a degree. Yeah. And so we've got to think about, you know, when we think about the Southern Poverty Law Center fiasco, where they've actually been accused of funding
extremist groups
and organizations to foment hate so that they can get funding supposedly to foment hate. And I've been suspicious of those folks ever since they put Focus on the Family on their hate list group 10, 15 years ago.
James Dobson.
And well-funded, yeah. You know, Soros-funded and paid protesters. So this is not a series of lone wolf attacks. This is, they were given birth by, and I'm not saying in a conspiratorial way, but they were given birth by a well-funded, clever set of intel gathering and psychological operations. What's undergirding all of this anti-Trump stuff is not policy differences at all. It's much much bigger than that. So, you know, to Travis's point, the security against nutcases is not what we're looking at anymore. We're looking at a security threat that comes from a very well funded foundation of hate.
Yeah, the chief is right, Chip. This is not John Hinckley insane here. These are highly educated people. The guy on the golf course, this guy with the week, and these are highly educated people that have been gotten their ideology and turned into domestic terrorists. I mean, our American media and our own American politicians are grooming domestic terrorists, and no one's saying that. But that's the definition of domestic terrorists, that your ideology causes you to commit assassinations. I mean, we would call it what it was if this was in another country, but we're not calling it that here. And this is, and the reason I'm saying it's not going away. Don't tell me both sides need to ratchet it down. This is not a both sides issue.
Okay? I agree. It just isn't. I agree.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, out of the picture. Isn't that weird how right-wing extremism has kind of gone away because they were funding most of it, right? So no one's, I don't know the answer to it other than you better change your security protocol. And I would like to think the Department of Justice can hold groups accountable that are funding domestic terrorism, which is exactly what this is.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what all the answers are, but you say the right thing to the wrong person, even if they're just maybe not mentally strong or maybe not that far off the edge, but they just are looking for an excuse. And you're planting that seed. Guys, it's time to move on. We've got RVMnews.com. A former Minnesota trooper drops a bombshell. He's claiming that DHS pressured him to hide fraud and the unit was disbanded. So I'm going to roll through this pretty quickly. I'm going to cover the highlights. But a former, he's a Minnesota state trooper. And this week he said officials within the state's, now we're talking about Minnesota, Department of Human Resources, they attempted to pressure him into withholding evidence related to an alleged fraud in a taxpayer-funded child care program, which shouldn't really raise bells because, of course, we're talking about Minnesota. But it raised new questions about oversight and accountability in the state. This is reported by the New York Post. So his name is Jay Swanson. He previously served as a criminal investigator for DHS, delivered testimony on Tuesday before the Minnesota House Fraud Prevention and State Agency Oversight Policy Committee. So this committee, it's a state committee, but it's still like, you know, having the answer to Congress, right? During the hearing, he alleged that his supervisors instructed him to alter or remove findings that were tied to fraud within the child care assistance program. Clearly felonies. Swanson said the request came while he was responding to inquiries from the Minnesota state legislature regarding irregularities that were within the program. So he's doing an investigation for the legislature, and they're asking him to. According to his testimony, a DHS official directed him to submit his responses through agency leadership, bypassing the legislature that asked for it. After doing so, a supervisor confronted him, demanded that portions of his findings be withdrawn. And he said that he advised the official that he believed that what they were telling him to do was illegal. He further stated that days later, the same official returned, warned him that his findings would lead to consequences, and saying, you better be ready for the storm that's going to be coming your way. His testimony described an environment where investigators, not just him, but other investigators, they were examining potential fraud, and they were allegedly subjected to pressure, harassment, internal resistance. Members of the unit faced pushback. It goes on and on. They were investigating fraudulent billing practices, child care centers. He said, he was talking to interviewing people that were doing scams, and they said, quote, that they had heard that you could run the scam in a number of different states, but that it was easiest, that you could make the most money by doing it in the state of Minnesota. And there were, it named centers. They eventually, when Tim Walz became governor, they disbanded his unit and they were not allowed to do criminal investigations anymore. And it goes on and on and on. Travis Yates.
Listen, if you don't think this goes all the way to the top, Tim Walz dropped out of the governor race knowing he couldn't get the job as a crossing guard. That guy's got no talent to do any other job other than be a politician. The only reason he dropped out of that governor's race is he knows that he's a mark here. It goes all the way to the top. He knows it. There's been whistleblowers for years in the state of Minnesota that said that very thing because their bosses were at the top, and it goes straight to the governor's office. They're going to find this out. And by the way, I would challenge anybody to show me where a Minneapolis specific police officer ever responded to a dead body of a Somalian. They don't die, apparently. The money keeps turning. I've talked to hundreds of officers, and none of them can ever recall going to a DOA call in the Somali community. Very interesting. Wow. Maybe we should take the vitamins that they're taking, but that's a whole side note. But this goes all the way to the top. Waltz knows it. We're knowing it slowly by slowly, hopefully within the next 2 years, because, you know, I'm tired of the stories. It's time for people to go to jail.
Well, thank you. Guys, it's getting good. We're going to be right back. We got another commercial break. We'll see you back in five. All right, guys, time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, and that stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments, and guess what? No injuries, no deaths. Amazing statistic. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Tell them that Chip and Travis sent you. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, former police chief, and also Dr. Travis Yates, former police major with Tulsa. And, you know, we've been talking about the former Minnesota trooper dropping the bombshell about fraud in the state of Minnesota. And so that is what we've been talking about. We have another story that's going to be coming up about a school officer stopping an armed teenager. But Chief, I think that you were talking about the Minnesota thing, and I'm going to let you go ahead and continue on that one.
I just want to know, and I don't understand, and Travis may be able to see beyond the veil a little bit better than I can. What is the incentive for the governor? And I agree that that's where all that starts. If you look at the timeline, what's the incentive? It can't be for the voting bloc. There's only about 100,000 Somalis in the state. Now, that may represent 500,000 Democrat votes, but that's still not, you know, a major incentive for people to be involved in this. So it's obviously a money trail. There's got to be some stuff going on where some deep pockets are being lined. That's I can't think of any other motive for people at the top of government to suppress a legitimate investigation about the fraudulent expense of tax dollars.
Yeah, I think the chief has very accurately described that. What is the incentive? And first off, you know, Minnesota it's about 45-55. So, I mean, it is kind of getting closer and closer to swing states. So every vote does count. But I think more importantly, hopefully they're looking at where this money is going to and what money is coming back into the state. So if I'm a Minnesota politician and I'm taking a blind eye and looking away, and there's millions of dollars going overseas because of this, how much of that overseas money is coming back to my political campaigns? They're probably going to find some of that depending on how well they hit it. But there's no question that that's happening. I mean, there were millions of dollars going through the airport on a weekly basis, and the state quit tracking it, right? Yeah. Because they didn't want people to know that. And so they're not just letting millions go out of the state, not knowing some of it's coming back in some form or fashion for political power.
Yeah, even look at USAID. So I'm curious to see when they connect the dots and come out with the information too. That should be pretty fascinating. So if you guys are ready, I want to touch base on this school shooting, or not a school shooting. It was prevented, but you know, we talked about three incidents that were caught just in the nick of time. This one's the libertydaily.com. We have a school officer stopping an armed teenager before he enters the building. So guys, before we get into the school thing, let me just going back to this thing that in Minnesota, we had the trooper that was involved. You know, I think it's important to cover things like that to let people that are in these positions know what to do. You know, have some backbone. You're in that position. and whether it's an elected appointed or whether it's just an appointed position, the trooper did the right thing. And you could argue maybe he was willing to become a whistleblower. He's ordered by the legislature to do something. And he's got people trying to prevent him from doing his job. And at least he's smart enough to know that, hey, they're asking me to commit multiple felonies here. And he made a stand. So when you're in a situation like that, you've got to be able to do the right thing. If you're not, don't take the job. On this one, the school officer stopping the teenager, a 16-year-old former student armed with a handgun stopped before he entered a Daytona Beach high school. So this is in Florida where I'm at, according to local media. So a Daytona Beach police resource officer and an armed guardian, and also I read that the principal was there too, at Mainland High School, to confront a former student who had actually fled from an SRO trying to re-register at the school earlier in April. So just like a month ago, last month, a local TV station, WEAS, they reported this. The student had been removed from the school in February after he was arrested on charges of marijuana possession and vehicle burglary, according to WFTB. And then when he was intercepted, the student was searched and they found a loaded handgun and two magazines were discovered in the waistband of his pants, according to the WESH. The school was not placed on lockdown. The student was arrested with an open warrant as a runaway, according to the WFTV. He also faces charges of possession of firearm by juvenile on school property as well, ammunition, all that kind of stuff. And of course, that Gun-Free School Zone Act is a violation of law as well. Guys, it seems like we're catching all these people and we're avoiding some mass casualties with these. The system seems to be working. We're getting better detecting this stuff. And in some of the stories we covered over the last couple of days, we've actually got civilians that are calling, or they're using even some of these apps, these law enforcement apps that citizens have, are working where they're actually giving tips and we're catching bad guys just in the nick of time. So what are do you guys see the pendulum swinging to where we're getting better at stopping this stuff, or are we just getting lucky? Travis?
I think we've put in more safeguards. I'm an advocate of Safe to Tell here in Colorado with anonymous reporting, and then they reach out and try to intervene. I think it certainly makes us review, or at least be cognizant of, the legitimate role of an SRO in the school. Now, this is a big campus, and the guy happened to walk right into the place where he could be detected as somebody that needed to be prohibited from being in a school. But we've got to make sure that the school district and the police department and the police and this SRO knows exactly what their rule is. It's not a disciplinary position. It's not just a security guard position. And we don't want to farm people out there. Let's get this guy off the road. Let's get him into an SRO position, or this guy's 2 years from retirement. Let's get him into SRO. These are really critical places. And underlying the whole safety thing is the students and the parents and the people in the community giving that information, building that intel, letting people know where the risks are. So I do think there's a better trend, a better understanding that if you see something, say something.
It is interesting that just a few years ago, there was a political party that demanded that law enforcement not be in schools, which was
you're right,
which was, quite frankly,
or be unarmed if they are.
Yeah, of course. And so I'm not sure there's one idea they have that is actually valid. Everything they do has a power metric to it, which is let's create more shootings so then we can push for more gun control. But now that we seem to come back to reality a little bit, I think we're still missing a big picture, which is, yeah, I think we are more cognizant, we're more aware, we are stopping more shootings. But the question is, what's causing the shootings? No one wants to look at that shit. No one wants to look at what's the root cause of this. Kind of like, you know, some races commit violence more than other races, and nobody seems to want to care about why. They just want to scream racism all the time. And so we need to take a hard look at what's causing it. I mean, it's probably a combination of things, you know. There's no question the studies are out there that social media has created a level of mental illness in this country that we've never seen. There is a small segment of the population, if you listen to Dave Grossman, where violence, you know, does perpetuate into that mental illness. But I think more importantly is how are we treating the mental illness? Why is it that every drug they give for mental illness says this could cause violence if you take it, right? Some of these drugs that we're putting kids on like candy. So as that advent has increased and we've put in a high percentage of our kids on a lot of psychedelic drugs, or psychotic drugs, or whatever you call them, right? Drugs that they identify a child as having some sort of mental illness or anxiety or whatever. We should just call those kids, a little bit different. Now we label it as a disease and give them pills. It's causing this. I mean, it is a side effect. You can watch the commercials and read the little letters at the bottom of the commercials, and it says it. This could cause you to have suicidal tendencies or violent tendencies, right? Well, if that's the case, how many of these kids involved in this are on those? And we say it's HIPAA laws and we can't know, so we can't ask. Well, I'm just curious what culpability the big pharma has when it comes to this increase in violence from teenagers, because this is a new anomaly. This was not happening when I was in school. We didn't target hard in schools. We didn't have police officers in schools. That's just one generation ago. And no one wants to talk about this, and it continues to happen.
So I've seen Trump 2.0 within the last month address this, the mental health aspect of this, and trying to get more, I'm not going to say institutions, but more facilities out there. Because, back in the day, I started my career in 83. We had mental health facilities everywhere, which was a great thing. People got the help they needed. We still institutionalized them, but it's in jails. So I hope that he sticks to his guns on that. And we start seeing more, we get more people the help they need instead of just throwing them in jail.
Chip, you have so much hatred in your heart. It's much more humane to let them roam the streets.
That's what we're doing.
On the streets. Yeah. And it's much more humane to not put them in institutions, to let them just roam the streets like we have in every city in America today. Yeah. That's, once again, that's an ideal from a political side that I don't think's quite worked out.
Yeah, let's not fix them. Let's just medicate them. Let's just take care of the symptoms, and create some new ones while we're at it. I'm ready to roll into the next one. Did you have a comment there, Chief Schultz?
No, let's move on.
You ready?
Otherwise, I'm gonna have to take my meds.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna whet the appetite because I am ready to jump to a video. And I really, half the reason I want to do this, I haven't seen that vein that Travis has on the right side of his head. I haven't seen it pop out in a while. And on this UK video, it's going to happen because they're dealing with a dude with a knife and no one's got lethal. So I'm doing this for Travis's benefit. Police tasered and arrested terror suspect after two Jewish men are stabbed. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And GunLearn is the first and only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and certified firearm specialist. Now, if you have that certification, if you're a certified firearm specialist, even if you got it 5 years ago, there's some good news because GunLearn.com, they've been busy. They have now partnered with Smarter Degree, and now that certification is worth college credit through Smarter Degree's University Partners Program, and that's quite the deal. So they've been doing this since 1996, and they taught everything that LEOs, which stands for law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now you can start today with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com, hook up with the founder, Dan O'Kelly, to learn more information about that, GunLearn.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, former police chief, and also Dr. Travis Yates, former major with the Tulsa Police Department. Now, we left off talking about, and I just whet the appetite with this one, at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Better, police tasered and arrested a terror suspect after two Jewish men were stabbed.
Get down on the ground! Down on the ground! Down on the ground! Step back! Take the taser! Jacket! Take the taser! Down on the ground! Detention of help! Detention of help! Drop the knife! 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 Yeah, okay. Detention of power!
This happened in the UK. In fact, it was Golders Green, United Kingdom and Britain. So body cam footage that was at the moment of the terror suspect was tasered and pinned to the ground by police after two Jewish men were stabbed at Golders Green, and this has been released now. So the video released by the Metropolitan Police Department, it shows a 45-year-old Somali-born British national. So That's the first flag. He's holding a knife, and now he's walking towards the police officer with the body cam. We have two officers firing tasers now. I saw our body cam officer's got a taser. It's out pointed at the bad guy as he's advancing on him with a knife. We got an officer to the right who's got pepper spray. So I don't know if there was another guy with a taser that maybe I didn't notice, and I watched it a number of times. But anyhow, the bad guy's got a blue puffer jacket on and a rucksack. So it's going to be hard for the probes to go through. But he eventually collapses after he's tasered, and then they don't all jump on him. The dude with the taser and the body cam, he does not go in. He's just watching the other guys do it. But he does have the taser, but he does not go in and help the initial officer out that had the pepper spray. That guy's going in solo. And so it says that they can hear them urgently, hey, get down on the ground, take the taser. And once the suspect was on the ground, one of the officers kneels on top of him while the other continues to use the taser. That's the dude standing up on body cam. And now we have another guy that jumps in. The officer is still on his feet, repeatedly yelling, hey, drop the knife, drop the effing knife, while the suspect's struggling on the floor. There's a good frame where you've got the bad guy with a huge knife in his hand, and you've got that one officer that's wrestling around with the bad guy and the knife, trying to get it away from him and trying not to get cut at the same time. And anyhow, the suspect is pinned face down. He's prone on the ground. It's like a parking lot. And he is aggressively fighting these guys. So now this plainclothes guy comes up to help out. They think it may be someone from the Jewish community or the security team. And they eventually wrestle the knife out of the bad guy's hand. It doesn't look like anyone got caught. I really am surprised. I don't know how. And now the Green Party leader, Zach Polanski, is tweeting on X. He's criticizing police conduct, seen in the footage. The Post is accusing officers of repeatedly and violently kicking a mentally ill man in the head when he was already incapacitated from the taser. All right, there you go. Travis, your mic's not even open yet, but you're getting this one. You're starting us off, so go ahead. This has got your name written all over it. Travis Yates.
Well, I'm not so upset what I saw on this video, because this is the United Kingdom, and they've been screwed up for many years. I mean, I thought the guy was going to start jumping rope over that taser line because he started tripping up on that, and it was a colossal disaster. But do you know, Chip, how many peer-reviewed journals endorsed by national police organizations that supposedly for American law enforcement say that we should be more like the UK? There's too many guns, and we should conform our training to what the UK does, and we should think. I mean, there are legitimate, supposedly credible individuals, so-called use of force experts, that will relate UK principles, policies, and procedures that we should do more of that. And this is what you get. You get more dead cops. You get more hurt cops. It's a miracle this was not a deadly encounter, because this guy did have a gun. He was going for a gun. There's no question that we're dealing with, mentally handicapped police officers that have no clue what to be as police officers, but it's in the UK, so that's the norm for many of them. Many of the guns are locked up at the station, and only certain officers are required to have guns. But that doesn't upset me as much as what I'm seeing in America, which is our own use of force experts. Some of them will just go on and on about how the force is our fault. And when we have to use force, it's somehow our fault, and we're not being nice enough. And there's no basis for that. There's no research for that. In fact, de-escalation training has permeated American law enforcement. And here's the difference. It's always existed, but we always knew there was a time and a place for de-escalation. We can go all the way back to the verbal judo days back in the 80s. There was always a time and a place. Nobody until recently said you should try to de-escalate violent individuals. Now there's entire agencies doing this because of a $150 million government grant that PERF got and sends out on their endorsed de-escalation training that is getting more cops hurt. It is getting more cops killed. I have the data to support that. Every year since 2020, more cops have been hurt to a record year of 2024 with the last year we have the data. And by the way, that goes against common sense, because as the violence has decreased in America, typically you see the assault rate decrease in America. It's invert. More and more cops are getting hurt every single year because they're doing exactly what they're told. Let's be more like the UK. So let's get ourselves hurt more to make some reverend somewhere happy so they don't critique us, which they end up critiquing us anyway.
Well, the good news, Travis, is that there is an anti-knife movement in the UK, and they have taken 63,000 edged weapons off the streets over there to make London and the area safer, even though most of these attacks are with kitchen knives. Half of the homicides, not quite half of the homicides in that region, are knife related, and that works out to about 200 something a year, plus another 3,500 knife related injuries coming into the hospitals. And that's just in Wales. And I don't understand how the UK is divided up, but that's just those two, you know, what we think of as England, Scotland, Ireland are doing their own things. But, you know, I have to say, a lot of this goes back to Europe's open borders policies. And so the old policing by the consent of the public still works if you have a public that respects the system and has some values that are consistent with the enforcement system, which is breaking down in many of our European friends' countries.
So Travis, let me ask you this. Focus Certified, and I know we've only got 2.5 minutes, and I want to mention the sheriff that they did the toilet jail escape and what happened to her, but can you tell people how they can get more information and about Focus Certified real quick?
Yeah, I discovered that law enforcement has no system to predict violence based on behavioral cues of suspects. Every other profession does, doctors, nurses, clinicians, corrections, EMTs. They've all developed a system. They don't tell them to speak like Chick-fil-A when they see violent people. They give them a system backed by peer-reviewed research that says when you see these things, you should expect violence. And when I discovered this didn't exist for law enforcement, which quite frankly shocked me, once again, many of our national organizations are actually working against us, pushing training that actually is making things more dangerous, like I previously covered. We developed that over the course of the last 12 months, the team I put together. And you can get all the information at focuscertified.com. We're doing those trainings across the country now, and we're about to roll out online training, and we're going all the way to the level of if you want to train your entire department, you can become a trainer. Because if we don't do this, we're going to keep normalizing the assaults and death of law enforcement officers, and it's time to put a fix to it.
Agreed. Focuscertified.com, guys. So don't forget that. Check it out online, focuscertified.com. Just real quick, I want to just cover, and we're going to do this very quickly, foxnews.com, Louisiana sheriff charged after a toilet jailbreak let 10 inmates escape in a lockup fiasco. The highlights on this, it is the Orleans Parish Sheriff, Susan Hudson. She's 59 years old, a former law enforcement monitor. She was issued a sweeping 30-count indictment. Guys, we're talking criminal, alleging obstruction of justice, malfeasance, and falsifying public records on Wednesday, according to a press release from the Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell's office. And the CFO, Bianca Brown, got hit with 20 felony counts herself. The charges stem from a May 2025 incident where we have 10 inmates escape from the Orleans Justice Center, according to the AG Murrell's office. And nearly a year ago, the AG made a commitment, you know, to go in and hold the people accountable. They've got all the inmates back, and now that's where they're doing. They're holding people accountable. They're saying that the sheriff, even though she wasn't directly involved, she created the situation that allowed it to happen. And then, of course, other things happened after it, cooperation and hiding stuff. And she, yeah, she's in a world of hurt right now. Commentary, Chief Schultz?
You know, she's no dummy. She's the Tulane Law School graduate, former practicing attorney, but she made a career out of Monday morning quarterbacking police officers in New Orleans and Los Angeles. So it's a classic irony. The people that are judging don't know how to actually do the job.
All right. Thank you. About 30 seconds. Travis Shades, anything?
Yeah. And if you want to see the impact that those monitors have made on law enforcement, we probably should arrest a lot more of them. You can go to lawofficer.com/DOJ and see how they've lied their way to their mansions.
All right. I love it. Lawofficer.com/DOJ. I have a banner ready to go. Look at that. And also focuscertified.com. Check it out. Guys, thanks so much for watching the show. We will be back on Monday live at 12 noon Eastern. That will be our last satellite show on Westwood One. Everything else is staying the same. You guys keep watching us. It's just satellite for radio stations. Hey, also a shout out to our sponsors, Gulls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, and Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. We'll see you back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.